All right. Second Timothy.
Paul, in his...
How do I say it?
In his... deferential, demure, shrieking, violent style. Oh, no, it's not that.
No.
He's going to share. Oh, no, he isn't, is he?
No.
He's going to slap silly. Tell him how it is.
Yes.
And as he does so, take the contrast to heart. Because he's listing in 2 Timothy chapter 3 quite an awful list. But drop down to verses 10, 11, and 12. Where Paul says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. There's the list.
Mm-hmm.
Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all them that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, Paul, when you look at his resume, stands in a place where he can write verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and on down through there. We're down to verse 4. And we've gotten to traitors. Now, we tend to think of traitors as Benedict Arnold. We tend to think of traitors, do you remember the Rosenbergs back in the 50s?
Yes.
But more likely, Paul is thinking in terms of those who defect from Pauline doctrine.
Yes.
Sad, as you read this month's issue of the Berean Searchlight, and you saw the editorial that Ricky Kurth wrote on the very first page from the editor about a fellow in Wisconsin who didn't believe the grace message anymore. Well, I'm glad the church let him go, but he has defected. He is a traitor to right doctrine.
Yes.
As is the fellow down in Smoky Mountains. That now he is vitriolically opposed to mid-acts dispensationalism. So I'm thinking that Paul is thinking of terms of Hymenaeus and Philetus. He's thinking in terms of people that, oh, wait, what if Timothy is so ashamed that he goes back from whence he came.
Yes.
Oops. So maybe if the shoe fits, wear it.
Yes.
There are traitors to God's word.
Yes.
The King James Bible, there's lots and lots of them that
yes.
any version will do. They'll tell you the Greek is more dependable than the English. And so disingenuous on their part because they can't read Greek.
No.
They make a pretense of reading Greek. But do you realize it takes a good 6 years to be able to read Greek?
Yeah.
Hard language?
Yes.
Do you want somebody who... The fellows that go to seminary can read Greek, if at all, on the second or third grade level. They can parse some things out. Really what they're doing is they're going to books and going to vines and getting expository dictionaries where they pretend they're reading the Greek.
Yes.
They'll quote the original, which doesn't exist. Tell you something's a better rendering as if they were the Holy Ghost himself.
Yes.
So I'm going to say those folks are traitors to the Word of God.
Amen.
If somebody convinces you that there's a mistake in your Bible, just one little one someplace, like Pastor Jordan says in Romans chapter, 6, verse 1 is a mistake. If he convinces you of one, what's the difference between that and Bishop Spong, who would convince you of 25,000 if you let him? I'm going to say you're an infidel by degree.
Amen.
And you're going to be worse as time goes by.
Yes.
They're traitors to right doctrine. Pauline mid-acts dispensationalism constitutes right doctrine. When Mark Moma says Jesus is our pattern, mm-hmm. he's a traitor to right doctrine.
Yes, he is.
He makes a statement that people say, oh, he's following Jesus, which is get away with it based on people's ignorance.
Exactly.
Sometimes I've heard people say, well, this remark over here, maybe Peter said it, was transdispensational. That's a way of saying, I really don't know what to do with this verse.
Yeah.
Very few things are supposedly, are really trans, that are true in every dispensation. Hey, yes, there's prayer in every dispensation, but don't you know the content is very different?
Yes.
There's the devil in every dispensation, but don't you know his ministry? The Holy Ghost has a different ministry now than he did.
Yes.
So be careful about that kind of distance. And sad to say, there are people such as Steve Atwood down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's a traitor to the gospel.
Yes.
Paul makes it very clear, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, you're to call that out, as I just did.
Yes.
Romans 10, 9 and 10 is not the gospel.
No.
And if the devil can have you count on any little bitty work that you might do,
yes,
then he's got you trusting words.
Yes.
Romans 10, 9 and 10 has you calling with your mouth, which I guess leaves out deaf and dumb people. But the idea that they can take two verses out of the middle of three chapters where Paul is addressing Israel's condition and present that as the gospel and get away with that just tells you how dangerous it is to be in a typical pew.
Yes.
In even the so-called grace movement. Confess with your mouth or you're not saved. What words? How loudly? What language? Is there required things that I have to say when I confess? If you make it words, there's going to have to be a definition of what the words are. And Paul warns about traitors. Christ had Judas. Paul had several detractors. So will I, so will you.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 3, heady, high-minded. And my. I subscribe to a magazine called The Skeptical Inquirer, and they make a point of attacking anything of faith, mostly when they attack what they think is Christianity. It really isn't. It's the faith healers, it's the Catholics, it's something goofy. But we are surrounded now by people who are overconfident. They are wise in their own conceits.
Yes.
Because they believe in evolution, they believe in the Big Bang, they believe in a lot of things that just aren't so. You can, as I gave you last Sunday, have people tell you about a triceratops that might not even exist. And science, Paul warns, falsely so-called, is an opposition force. Isn't that exactly what he says?
Yes.
Opposition of science, falsely. So it's not a benign force. It's not without its agenda. I think we can see there's a debate over global warming. There's one set of experts says it exists, and another set of experts says it doesn't. It's like in a trial where you've got competing experts for the prosecution and for the defense. Fact of the matter is, I've got enough Bible to tell me that the earth's going to be around till the Lord gets rid of it.
Yes.
And we're so caught up in thinking with such big stuff that we can destroy the world. We can make a mess of it, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But the opposition of science, falsely so-called, is something we have to recognize is out there. When science gets it right, we're not going to have a problem with it, and the Bible's going to be comfortable with it. But when science gets it wrong, and science lies to us in order to get rid of the Bible, it's an interesting thing how subtle it all is. There's, in our local newspaper, the editorial page, they don't call the editorial page anymore, they call it Ideas and Voices.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellow who's in charge of that has written written for the last 3 days in his little green block about how they want ideas for the Ideas and Voices page, and they want feedback. So we're going to schedule a meeting. You can come and give your input. Wednesday night at 7 to 9.
What a coincidence.
At a coffee house that's had all sorts of tacky looking rock groups in there and reading poems and, you know, goofy stuff. I think it's the Ghost Light Coffee House on Wayne Avenue or something like that, where you wouldn't be caught dead, but that's where they're going to have the meeting. So I emailed him today and I said, you know, this is subtle, but what you accomplished by scheduling the meeting on Wednesday from 7 to 9 is that nobody in any evangelical or fundamental church will ever be able to attend, because that's when their midweek meetings are. You don't suppose he already knew? So, Eddie and High-Mind just puffed up and caught up in themselves.
Yeah.
Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, you don't have to look far to see that in evidence, do you?
Yeah.
And I gave you some figures about how the American public spends $29.8 billion given to churches. Two plus times that, $70 billion on cigarettes, and $97 billion spent on 211,489,982 barrels of beer. The Clydesdale horse is probably better than the bald eagle as America's symbol.
Yes.
The Budweiser Clydesdale.
Yeah.
So, these people, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I think it's interesting to note that whether you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, they love themselves, or this verse, they love pleasures, they're wrong both times.
Yes.
And I know we're all different, and I know we all have different levels of doctrine within us and different relationships with Christ under Pauline doctrine. But when you talk about love of God, to me personally, that I would evidence were I able, by adherence, strict adherence to right doctrine and truth.
Yes.
I'm not one of these warm, fuzzy, oh, I love Jesus, oh, yeah, and walk around the room with my eyes rolled back in my head. I can't do it.
Thank you.
There are people that do that. They used to shop in our stores with a fair degree of regularity.
Yeah.
Who was the lady? No matter what she had. What's a nice day today, bless you, Jesus. Are you going out this afternoon, bless you? Everything she had ended with, instead of a period, it was a bless you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And she got so caught up in it one time, she did a bless you, Jesus, bless you, Jesus.
Yes.
Didn't know when to stop. I sorted out that there's a lot of things I can't do and a lot of things that I'd be foolish to try. But I do know one thing about me, that when God and His book convince me of truth, I'm pretty good at hanging on to it.
Yes.
And I'll learn it well enough that I'm fairly adept at teaching it to others. And you're not going to talk me out of it in 5 minutes. I'm not intractable, but you're going to have to prove it from the book.
Yes.
So, that would be, when I talk about love of God, that would be on my radar screen, that kind of thing.
Yes.
That may not be you at all. But I'll tell you, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, traits of people. When you get all done with it, he's going to list for us 30 characteristics of wicked men. And the ladies say, well, that's no big deal, I could do that. But this is really quite a remarkable thing that he's doing.
Wow.
And you see it's in the confines of a short section. So this is not positive mental attitude, win friends and influence people. This is name it for what it is.
Yes.
When we read in verse 1, as we did a week or so ago, about last days, I'm going to say again that I believe it would be wrong to relegate what Paul's saying here to some prophetic time in the future, or simply to his last days before he's dead. But rather, he's looking at the time frame of the revelation of the mystery and calling that the last days. Whatever you make of it, you can't go through this list and miss that there's a lot of hands-on truth here that we can see all around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 51 and 52, Paul talks about meeting the Lord in the air at the moment in the twinkling of an eye. That is not some prophetic thing for Israel later on. That is not something that Paul saw in his day. So there's an example of something that I'd be glad if it applied to me right this minute. I'll assume we're out of here, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's worthy of consideration, that we should not take verse 1 in the last days as liberty to slough this off on Paul or the future or something else. There's too much hands-on truth here. It hits too hard for us to duck and not take it. We need to consider these warnings.
Yeah.
When you come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, by the way, Calvin and Hobbes there, I thought was good.
Yeah.
2 Timothy, yeah, they're my favorite cards. Second favorite cards. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All over America, there are churches. They got pulpits. They've got pews. They got offering boxes. They've got all the accoutrements. They got choirs. They've got a statue of Jesus in the lobby. They all claim to have the friendliest and the nicest and all the best youth program. And they all pray the Lord's Prayer, probably.
Yeah.
Most of them have an invitation at the end of the service. Sad to say, I believe I could sit down with 99.5% of them and demonstrate they don't know the gospel of their soul salvation.
Yes.
They have no testimony of trusting Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. They've asked Jesus into their heart. They made him Lord of their life. They went down front. They had the emotional experience. They talked in tongues. They had a million things going for them other than what Christ specifically put in place.
Yes.
The reconciliation is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection and none of those other things.
Yes.
So, that's scary.
Yes, it is.
Vance Havner, he was saved at age 8. He was a prodigy as a boy, and he began, I don't know if it was what setting it was, but he was speaking to congregations starting when he was 11. He began became one of the top personalities, leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah.
He wrote more than 20 books. He lived well into his 80s. He, when Carol and I were privileged to speak to him, told us he believed that of people attending Baptist churches, two-thirds of them will spend eternity in hell.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He said we might get them saved if we didn't baptize them and put them in the choir first.
Yes.
B.R. Lakin, who only wrote a half a dozen books, who was pastor to Jerry Falwell. He was called the pastor's pastor because when Jimmy Carter got together with Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat, he brought along a preacher, B.R. Lakin, the Prince of Preachers. B.R. Lakin, when we met him, said to Carol and me, eyeball to eyeball, that he believed that the population of Baptist churches, 75% would spend eternity in heaven.
Yeah.
So when I say that I think I could sit down with the population of church-going folks and pin them down, what makes you think you're going to heaven? Well, I asked Jesus into my heart. Bah, wrong answer.
Yes.
I made him Lord of my life. Bah, wrong answer. That I could eliminate 99.5% of them. That's sad.
Yes, it is.
That's a tragedy. You say, well, if they don't say the right words, if they trusted Jesus, what about trusting Jesus? I went forward and I was led by the altar worker to pray the sinner's prayer.
Mm.
Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Take me to heaven when I die. What's missing is, why should he take you to heaven? Are you asked? Are you such hot stuff? Because you ask, you get whatever you ask for. No, there's his death, his propitiatory sacrifice, his substitutionary atonement that has been totally disregarded in the invitation system.
Yes.
In evangelical and fundamental churches around America.
Yes.
And now it's raise your hand, come down front, and repeat after me.
Yes.
Having a form of godliness,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But denying the power thereof. From such turn away. From such turn away. That sounds harsh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Carol can't even bear to watch when I'll have on a Joel Osteen or a T.D. Jones or somebody. She just goes, you know, it's like fingernails on a blackboard there. She can't bear it. I listen to them some just to hear what the coin of the realm is and
yeah.
where they are now and what kind of things they're saying. Mm-hmm. But even then, it is quite disgusting. And
yeah.
it's not hard to turn away.
Mm.
Not hard at all. Rather than trying to fix their ministry, try to get them saved.
Yes.
They won't give you three chances of that.
No.
But if you, oh, I'm going to the Baptist church and I'm going to work from the inside out and I'm going to convert them. You're a troublemaking, narcissistic fool.
Yes.
They were Baptists before you showed up. They'll be Baptists after you show up. It says Baptist on the deed. They report to the Baptist. Don't kid yourself. Try to get them saved. Try to get the gospel to them.
Yes.
It's sad when you look at Christianity as it's practiced.
Yes.
I've said it to Carol so many times, she's sick of hearing me repeat myself. But when you get old, you start doing that. It's a wonder anybody gets saved.
Yes, it is.
When you look at how Christianity is practiced.
Yes.
Why would anybody look at that and say, I want some of that? I want to fall down, roll around on the floor, and bark like a dog. That's for me.
Yeah.
I want to, whatever I ask for in Jesus' name, pretend like I'm getting it.
Yeah.
That's for me. St. Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. for of this sort are they which creep into houses. What sort are they? Well, they're the sort that are verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, disgusting.
Yes.
Ought to be totally, they should be lawyers.
Yes.
I think those traits work. For this sort, of this sort, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Now there's Paul picking on the women again.
No.
Laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Perhaps we should focus more on who are the creeps.
Yes.
That are creeping into those houses. Those are men.
Yes.
Rather than picking on the women that they victimize.
Yes.
We've got churches filled with the wrong sorts.
Yes, we do.
I make a point in your outline that Mormons ride their bikes from house to house. Got their white shirts on, their black ties, their formica name badges.
Yep.
And they do that all day long.
Yep.
Well, who's home most times during the day? If they find anybody at home at all these days, it would be the lady of the house. Mm-hmm. Jehovah's Witnesses are very clever.
Oh, yes.
In very, they practice. When we bought 383 South Columbus, it had been a Kingdom home. So the realtor takes me through. What have they got up? It's only three steps high, but what have they got on the platform? They've got a card table and four chairs. What they do on that card table and four chairs is pretend like they are in your living room.
Yes.
And two of the chairs are the people we've knocked on their door, and the other two are the Jehovah's Witness workers. And they demonstrate for the crowd.
Yes.
Here's how you do it.
Yes.
And they do a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
One of them is taught to pretend like, oh, really? Why, I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I think I'm getting through to that one. I think I'll invite him back.
Somebody.
Yay! That's what they wanted.
Yes.
They play you.
Yes.
Quite effectively.
Yep.
They had a tiny office. In that tiny office, the whole wall was a map.
Yes.
And it had a map with green dots. That's where the guy said, oh, I think I'm getting through to that one. We'll have them back. For the follow-up visits, and they're plotting the neighborhood. So, when we bought the Kingdom Hall, we got rid of those things. Actually, they were gone before they, we got there, aren't they?
Yeah.
We've got Cooneyites, they're called, going door to door. Swedenborgianism is what Dr. Oz is, and Susie Orman and Glenn Beck, good old Mormons. We got more cults than you can shake a stick at.
Yep.
The young people going door to door selling you magazines doesn't happen as much anymore. Many times they were the Unification Church. So there are bad doctrinal people going door to door and looking for people that they can captivate. Don't think that Paul in verse 6 is being again misogynistic, which some people tend to think. Several of the commentators say that, not the least of which is Sumner Wimp of Jerry Falwell's Liberty Baptist University. He says, and this is a note in the King James Study Bible, which is a King James Bible with the notes put in by Liberty Baptist University, this verse refers to women led astray. And quite a few others agree with him. Go back up to verse 2. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. The bad guys in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are two, three, four, five are men.
Yep.
The victims are women.
Yeah.
Now, why Paul calls them silly, you'll have to talk with Paul about. Might be a word of personal testimony. Ladies have said to me, not just one, but a few, well, I don't really look into that much. My husband, he studies the doctrine. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Where's all this we're equal stuff now?
Exactly.
So, that's a personal problem, prejudice on my point, but part that I don't take Paul here to be misogynistic. The whole context of the whole section is about the sorts of doctrinal teachers, and these happen to be men, do they not?
Yes.
Who are trouble.
Yes.
So, if we just take verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and apply that to women, I beg your pardon.
No.
That won't work.
No.
Rather, I think that the verse 7, has to do with the whole context. Now, if you'd like to be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, I think a good way to do it would be the Sunday school quarterlies that denominations hand out, because it's all about what river was it? How deep was the river?
Yeah.
Where did they cross the river? What town did they go to? What did they eat when they got there?
Yeah.
Ever learning. Sad to say, that's kind of what J. Vernon McGee did.
Yep.
And told a lot of stories. A lot of them were silly. Men, women, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed.
Yes.
So, verse 8, there are men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. They're the focus.
Yes.
This passage has in its bullseye target the elders that are leading, or should be.
Yes.
That's the focus, because Timothy should be one of those.
Yes.
He's ordaining elders. He's got an assembly going. So, fella, here's what's wrong, and here's what's right. As the Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. It's amazing when you learn mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division and attempt to communicate it to someone, all of a sudden you get all these verses thrown at you that have nothing to do with the subject matter.
Yes.
Yeah, but becomes how every sentence begins. They are resisting the truth.
Yes.
And it's interesting, too, I think, that word reprobate. We'll talk more about that later. In modern Christianity, we've got, even in grace pulpits, guys who say, well, the King James, boy, that's the best English translation. And if you heard Pastor Cornelius Stamm say, well, the King James is the most reliable English translation, you might think he said something.
No.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He said it's the most reliable English, mm-hmm. but he'll change it.
Yes.
Every page of most of his commentary will change it.
Mm-hmm.
Because no English translation is as reliable as the Greek, he would point to. And he'll say Textus Receptus Greek, but he won't tell you which of the four.
That's right.
I doubt he knew there were four. Mm-hmm. Seriously. These guys throw off on the Greek and work Textus Receptus because that means you're not Vaticanus any Atticus Roman Catholic. But that suffices for them because that gets them in their Greek dictionary, and now they can go to Vines and tell you what it really means.
Yeah. Yeah.
folks grab a hold of an NIV, they don't know even the Hebrew text is different from the Hebrew text of your King James Bible.
That's right.
There's Hebraica Septuaginta, there is the Biblica Hebraica, there is the text that is used by an Orthodox Jew even today, the Masoretic text. There's choices you can make.
Yes.
So the NIV not only has the wrong New Testament underlying text, it has the wrong underlying Hebrew text.
Yes.
Most folks don't know there's a choice.
Yeah.
Here we are, and you know what we're dealing with? We're dealing with things so simple.
Yep.
We don't need to get into the machinations of Greek syntax. They don't even know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in the Old Testament.
That's right.
They don't even know there is no Old Testament until 69 chapters into the Bible. We're dealing with the most rudimentary things, and they're rejecting them because they're so much smarter than we are because they've got this Greek text. Rick Santorum, good Catholic that he is, has now bowed out of the race, sits down for an hour with a third-generation Nazarene, that's his testimony, Dr. James Dobson,
yep,
who believes, same as the Pope, that the first six chapters of Genesis are a myth.
Yep.
James Dobson is on record.
Yep.
And his testimony isn't, well, I'm a saved man, got saved back in such and such. He's a third generation Nazarene.
Yep.
God doesn't have grandchildren.
Amen.
Each person needs to become a son on their own.
That's right.
Scary business.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the most famous names in Greek studies would be Robert Trench and A.T. Robertson.
Yep.
And they will greet you down the road. Neither one of them believes there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ on the earth.
Amazing.
They're just too smart to believe what the book says.
Yeah.
One of the things that was on the table back before the Dark Ages, in the time of the Nicene Fathers, was the idea that this book simply cannot be taken literally. We must find its essence and communicate that in a relevant way. Origen was talking like that in the second century.
Yes.
In the year 1409, there were three popes. Two of them were calling each other the Antichrist.
Amen.
They were opposite. So a third one pops up. You're not going to get any help from Peter's Church of Rome. It's amazing. Every December, we're talking about bringing peace on earth, goodwill toward men, as if Luke 12 wasn't in the Bible. I am such a cold blanket of butter, cold water, such a. Every party needs a pooper, that's why we invited you. I understand. Well, I'm stuck with it.
Amen.
Don't you suppose I would rather stand here and say to you that God promises you everything you ask for you're going to get, and you will be comforted by the Holy Spirit with flowery beds of ease regardless of what goes on in the rest of the world? You have a hedge of protection around you and you get whatever you ask for. Don't you suppose I'd rather say that?
Make you popular.
I just happen to know it's wrong.
Amen.
But wouldn't that be a much more saleable message?
Mm-hmm.
And much more pleasant? Wouldn't that be a lot more fun?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be better? More enjoyable? Not better, but wouldn't it be more positive if I took Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 out of its context? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So go ahead, play in traffic on the highway. You can do all things. Promise you healings, promise you wealth, promise you a new job. Could I find the verses to do that in a New York minute? Just be crooked.
Yeah.
Well, I give you one of the more choice examples of where scholarship goes.
Yep.
With a book that was written 400 years ago.
400 years ago?
200 years ago. 1708. Matthew Henry's commentary. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I could say there have been more copies of it sold than there are people in the United States.
Yes.
He comes to Acts chapter 8 and verse 38 and the baptizing where Philip and the eunuch are both in the water. I've given you Romans 8 verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Matthew Henry says, the eunuch ordered his coachman to stop, commanded the chariot to stand still. It was the best bathing place he'd ever met with in any of his journeys. They went down both into the water, for they had no convenient vessels with them, so they needed a jug or a vase or something, being upon a journey wherewith to take up water, and must therefore go down into it. So, obviously, baptizing is not normally going into the water, according to Matthew Henry.
Yeah.
Not that they stripped off their clothes and went naked into the water, but going barefoot according to the custom. Did you find any of this in the Bible?
No.
They went perhaps up to the ankles or mid-leg into the water, and Philip sprinkled water upon him according to the prophecy which this eunuch had probably but just now read, for it was but a few verses before, so we don't know that he read it at all. Probably, but just now read Isaiah 52:15 talking about sprinkling.
Yeah.
Nothing in your Bible talks about them going up to their ankles or mid-leg.
No.
Sorry that they didn't have a vase or a tureen with them. And you go to the store and you buy that and you sit down and read what he says and call that Bible study.
Oh boy.
Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here is an unsolicited advertisement. A person who believes his King James Bible is God's words, perfectly preserved into our language, has the opportunity to come to the book believing it.
Yes.
And that, coming to the Bible believing it, will put that person in a place where understanding is possible that would be totally missed and obfuscated by the person who comes to the book not believing it, correcting it, commenting on it, rewriting it, Greeking it.
Yeah.
They'll be ever learning, but they'll never get it.
Yeah.
I'm not an ex-Pauline dispensationalist first. I'm a Bible believer first.
Yes.
That made a dispensationalist out of me.
Exactly.
To some extent, I came to it kicking and screaming along the way, because I was a rising star in the Ruckmanite Baptist service.
Yes, you were.
No question about that.
Yep.
Shot myself in both feet.
Amen.
With Pauline doctrine. And I can't go back.
No.
I couldn't compromise it. I couldn't pretend.
No.
This is real.
Yes, it is.
So, as these people withstood Moses, the example in the Old Testament back there, so do these also resist the truth. Now, resisting the truth is a place you don't want to be.
No.
You're ahead. Even when the truth is uncomfortable, even when you don't like it very much, you're ahead to traffic in truth. The truth is, I have a healing program called death.
Glory.
You can anoint me with oil until I slide off my chair. You can lay hands on me until I'm bruised all over. I remember at a meeting where Squire Parsons, the Baptist fellow, was singing. He had a bad back. Why, this was in a Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, where he was singing. The pastor said, he needs to say a nice thing, that y'all pray for Brother Parsons, because he has a bad back. And they were on him, I'm going to say, those 80 to 100 people came up on the stage, and they're all laying hands on the guy.
Oh, yeah. Beating
the snot out of him.
Yeah.
Squire Parsons, as far as I know, is the only Christian singer that I heard a clear testimony to salvation from. I even heard him preach a message at Marine Heights Baptist Church. It was a pretty good message.
Is it more?
About how to be saved.
Yeah.
What a concept. At any rate, that's neither here nor there. There are men of corrupt minds. Their minds get corrupted when they go to seminary. Their minds get corrupted when they read the commentaries. An example being the one we just looked at with Matthew Henry. The problem isn't that they've got the corrupted mind so much as they are defensive of it, and they will oppose and resist truth when it's presented to them.
Yes.
That's the hard part.
Yes.
And that's where the word reprobate comes in. Think of the word and the etymology of it. It's got the R-E prefix in front of it. And probate from probation. This is their second shot at getting it right. They're on probation again. And they're kind of like Cincinnati Bengals. You know.
Yeah.
Part of the team that's not in jail, so on probation.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh? I can't figure out how Marvin Lewis stays out. He got to know somebody downtown. Because everybody else is gone. Down to the cheerleaders now.
Yeah,
they're trotting the cheerleaders into the courthouse now. Oh, my. If you were caught with 2.5 pounds of marijuana in your house, plus packing material, measuring material, and scales, do you think you'd get 15 days? But the guy that did the leap, Simpson, that's on all the highlight reels and was the number one highlight of the football season, that did that loop-de-loop, they got him with all of that. They tracked it from California to his house. Found the scales. Found it. Got 15 days.
Possession of intent.
They'd be bringing you sunshine in a bag.
Yeah.
They would have you buried so low in the prison, they'd be, yeah, buddy. I read that and I thought, something bad wrong. Well, the Calvinists, of course, jump on reprobate and say that a person can't be saved. The word doesn't ever mean that. And Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30 talks about reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. Well, if you refined it again, then the Lord would accept it once the dross was removed. Every saved person had the wrong kind of mind prior to salvation.
Yes.
Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. That's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
Now that isn't about salvation, it's about inheritance.
Yes.
Such were some of you, Paul says. Every one of us has an old nature we need to fight and sublimate to the Word of God.
Yes.
We see it in Romans chapter 1, where people did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Do they still have a chance?
Yes.
Yes.
It's not that they were without chance to be saved, without opportunity. That's not what it means. When you're saved, you become a new creature.
Yes.
What has to happen is a reformation between your ears. Romans chapter 12 speaks to it.
Yes.
And the reformation that takes place between your ears, transformed by the renewing of your mind, verse 2 of Romans chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
is best produced by getting in this book rightly divided. Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yes.
When old Lester Roloff down there in Corpus Christi, Texas, was put in jail, the governor that did that was Ann Richards.
Yes.
She was that rather bawdy female who said, I love George Bush. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
That was Ann Richards. She was the one that put Lester Roloff in the slammer.
She did.
And one of the charges against Lester was that he was brainwashing children. And he said, yes. Their minds were so filthy with what they watched on TV, with what they heard in music, with what they saw in movies. Their minds were so filthy, they needed their brains washed.
Amen.
And so you'd have them memorize whole chapters of the Bible. I'm ashamed of it.
Yes.
I admired that guy from that day to this.
Yeah.
He's a very strange Baptist fella.
Yes, he was. Never
he would eat a hamburger. Yeah. Everything he ate looked like he gathered it from underneath a lawnmower, you know, after he mowed the grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
He liked to ground up artichoke hearts, you know, just all sorts of just nasty looking stuff.
Yeah.
Pete Ruckman made him eat a hamburger one time, and he wouldn't touch it. So Pete picked it up in front of Ruckman. In front of Roloff, drove him crazy. He drives a lot of people crazy. I'm glad to be a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
If I'm going to have that renewed mind, if I'm going to line up with how Paul describes himself in verses 11 and 12, I'm going to take inventory. I'm going to pay attention to what he says is wrong.
Yes.
In the verses that we are now reading.
Yes.
So, how do I say this? Verses 3, 4, and 5. 2, 3, 4, and 5 mm-hmm. represent mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. potential.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
We can do all those things. Still going to heaven? I don't want to do all those things. I don't know any of those things.
No.
So, I've got to be a pretty good list here to be heads up toward.
Yes.
I learned a lot of Bible, verse 7. But when I learned how to rightly divide it, all of a sudden it made sense.
Amen.
And the thing that happened that was so particularly wonderful was that rather than having all these verses floating around like birds in the air, when I had a Pauline structure, they all had a place where they belonged.
Yes.
And since they had a place where they belonged, I could remember more easily.
Yes.
I could recall that, well, where he said this, this is the Gospels. And so that's Christ to Israel. So if it's Christ to Israel, I know where to look.
Yes.
If it's God telling Israel what they've done wrong, I know to go to the minor prophets first and the major prophets second, and not the Psalms or Proverbs.
Yes.
So once I had a structure and knew where things went, wow, all of a sudden, verses didn't, you know what happens when they're away? They fly away.
Yeah.
I know it's in there somewhere.
How many times did the phone ring?
Can I talk to your husband? Brother McLean, I know it's in there somewhere.
Verse 9, and we'll be done. Paul talks about these men, and he says, they shall proceed no further. Shut them down.
Yes.
They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
Yes.
Boy, do we need that in grace book.
Oh, amen.
We need the folly to be shown and declared.
Yes.
The lack of discernment in the audience is really frightening.
Yes, it is.
I got an email from a fellow the other day who said he's learning mid-Acts, and now he's concerned about the fellow that had been his mentor. Would you please check out the church's website and tell me if there's any reason, if you think I'm right to be concerned? I went to the website. They're having a Passover Seder. Mm-hmm. They're having an Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. They got several different Bible versions. The plan of salvation mentions nothing of the death, burial, and resurrection. It's all about receiving Jesus. Mm-hmm. I read it and I think, you have to ask?
Yeah. Amen.
You have to ask?
That's scary.
I'm scared of you. There wasn't a page on that website. It was a big, fancy website from a big old church that even got close to fundamentalism.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It was just seeker friendly.
Oh boy.
We've got quite a few in the grace movement to, about whom we should say they shall proceed.
Yes.
They've done harm.
Yes, they have.
Now it's interesting. You have one of them turn on you, put up his website hating everything dispensational. Oh yeah, we knew that. Really? Where were you last year?
Yes.
Why weren't you calling him out?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brother McLean, that's you.
Yeah, I know. I guess I have to, because you won't.
Amen, amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Hey, Paul's clear to me.
Yes.
I went to Steve Atwood face to face and said, brother, what just happened is wrong. The gospel was presented as saying words, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That is wrong. On the authority of Galatians 1, 8, 9, I have to tell you, that is wrong. I think we need a lot more of that rather than less.
Yes.
The Mid-Acts movement won't be any different from the Baptists and Methodists or the Roman Catholics, the way it's going.
That's it.
Well, there's come a point in time where everybody will come.
Yes.
You'll see the unsaved like worms. And you'll see the fires of the judgment seat of Christ of wood, hay, and stubble will burn. There are people, I wish they'd be quiet now because they're doing more harm than good. There'll come a point in time when they shall proceed no further.